Looking Up on CliffCentral.com.
A very, very hearty welcome to each one of our listeners here and around our pale blue dot. You are listening to Professor David Block, our show, weekly streaming broadcast is Looking Up with David Block. And today we've got a fascinating topic. The topic is science and music. How does that grab you, Duncan?
I'm fascinated already, Professor.
Yeah, science and music. And listen, we have got some real hits here in terms of guests in our studio. Firstly, I want to welcome to the studio, I'm going to do it in reverse order today, just for fun. I want to welcome Kenton Lee Windvoorhel. Is that correct, Kenton?
Yes. The thing is, being brought up in Durban, we were not Afrikaans. So I grew up okay. Knowing my name, my surname is Windvoorhel. And yes. I actually learned that it's actually Windvoorhel.
Yes. Now tell me, of course, you're the lead guitarist for Lyra. You've been the lead guitarist for Lyra since 2011. I always thought Lyra was a constellation, Duncan, which it is.
Or a currency.
She's a singer. She's a local singer, Professor.
But she's a local, I know, and a very yes. famous one of that. Now tell me, Kenton, just to whet our listeners' appetites, did you actually meet President Barack Obama as well when Lyra performed?
Unfortunately not. I think on that day it was hell of a chaotic. Mm-hmm. In the
were
sense
you
that
with her there?
Washington, yes, we were all together. We performed. Uh-huh. We had the mandate, the invite, you know, as per the written invitation with him yes. being there. But unfortunately, with a night like that, you can imagine he's probably on demand everywhere. But I did kind of see him during the day driving mm-hmm. past with the entourage.
Wonderful.
It was an amazing
that
experience.
Must be so awesome. And of course, Lyra, in her own right, is a legend. I see that your dream is to make a difference within the entertainment industry here in South Africa, which is just awesome. And then we also want to welcome to the studio, I've been doing this in reverse order, normally it's females first, Duncan, today I've done it in reverse, Terry Lee Natalie Bronwyn Olifant, commonly known as Terry. Terry, a hearty welcome to you. Tell me what you do at Wits University, first of all.
Okay, well, firstly, thanks for having us on your show, Prof. This is amazing.
It's a great pleasure, and I know we're going to rock. You're going to put up some Lyra music, and he's going to play the guitar. I mean, come on, if this doesn't excite you, apply for
nothing
a job
will.
At FBOB.
Oh, God.
Okay, guys.
Prof, I've just completed my PhD and
yes.
I'm an associate lecturer in your department, mm-hmm. the Department of Applied mm-hmm. Maths. So we're colleagues and you've been my mentor for years, so this
uh-huh.
is quite an honor for me.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, that's what I'm doing in
So, Terry, I never knew that there was the secret side of Terry. You see, there's always the secret side, like the moon. The moon has a dark side that nobody knows of, penned Mark Twain. So, Terry, tell me when your love for music started, because you've been really doing quite a lot in the secret portfolios, as it were, and some very interesting achievements.
I think I had a fascination with poetry and with writing initially, and that started as early as about 7 years old. I used to sneak into the library and read poetry books, really thick,
yes.
intense poetry books, and then write my own poetry. And then that developed into music. I then became a vocalist.
Yes.
I've been in about 3 bands. But I really only started dabbling in music in 2001 because I was really shy.
Right.
Yeah, so 2001 was
right.
when it all started.
And tell me, both of you, just to kick off, what does music mean to you? What does it do to you? Why do you both do what you do? Nelson Mandela said to me one day, I said to him, please tell me what your thoughts of astronomy is. Tell me about astronomy. And he penned these words, that astronomy is the theater of our operations. I thought that is just
so profound,
the very theater of our operations. So, Kenton, let's start with you because I'm facing you, and we're going to Terry and then back to Terry and Kenton. So, what makes you tick before a performance? What are you trying to excite the crowds? Are you trying to inspire young people? Why do you do what you do?
I guess it's an amalgamation of everything you've said, and it's really like an interpretation of life. It's an expression.
It's Duncan, an interpretation of life.
It really is, and it's like I said, it's an expression of what is. It's for me, I see it as art. And going back to the subject of today, like science, sort of maths in music. For me, it's a lot of worlds that coexist in one.
Wonderful.
And it's very inspiring, and it is contagious, and that's what it is. It's
right.
It helps us. It controls our emotion. It controls our moods. It really can uplift.
It does, doesn't it? Now, Terry, I'd like to just kick off with a question. Of course, I know you as someone who lives next door, sort of as a neighbor, as it were, in the corridors, the learned corridors, Duncan, of applied mathematics, and where people call you professor and doctor and so on. And so you are also, as you've said, Terry, a musician, applied mathematician, but also a musician. So in your personal experience, do you believe that, you know, that there's an affinity between some of the great minds in maths and in music? I mean, this is a question which can be asked down the ages, and I'd love you to both have a chance and a stab at answering that question, because let me just take you back some years, Duncan. Do you remember the year 1974, Duncan?
Where you were around. Mama's eye.
Now, the point is, before your mama and your daddy got together, I was a twinkle in their eye. And it struck me deeply so that some of my great applied maths profs, like Michael Sears, adored music. They really did. And the more I got to know mathematicians, the more I realized that something's turning them on. I don't mean in the physical sense, of course, but in the musical sense. And so it became apparent to me that, you know, there's an affinity between music and science. But why don't you, Terry, you start off. Why don't you both just explore that theme?
Well, I know that this debate has been ongoing and can be traced back to 1756. I use Mozart as a reference of a musical genius whose musicality has been directly related to mathematics. And I know as human beings, we're always trying to make sense of anything extraordinary. And up until today, scholars are still investigating his work.
Right.
I know that Albert Einstein was also a violinist. I'm not sure if
that's
you guys
correct.
Know that he was a very good violinist. Thought that there was an affinity between his creative process and Mozart's creative process, and said that Mozart's music is so pure that it's almost as though it existed in the universe and it was just waited to be discovered and mastered, much like the birth of Einstein's theories. So, I mean, there are also a number of other mathematicians who you might know, Frederick Schubert, the Russian astronomer,
of course,
who he was also a famous musician. William Herschel served as a violinist and a composer before he became an astronomer.
Of course, is very famous. William was the father of John Herschel, and Sir William Herschel, intimately involved with the discoveries of planets like Uranus and so forth. And so he really enjoyed music.
Yeah, he was a musician. And I mean, it's not like these mathematicians were playing with the triangle. They were serious about their music as well. So there was definitely a musicality element involved there. Isaac Newton wrote a book on music.
Did he?
Yeah.
What was it called?
I will get the exact name for you. It's
I must know this, Duncan. I need to buy that book.
The First Statement of a Music Analogy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he talks
the First Statement of a Music Analogy. That's just awesome.
Yeah. That sounds really quite amazing. And then also Pythagoras, I mean, these were not necessarily musicians, but they made musical references. And one of the quotes I take from Pythagoras is he said that there is a geometry in the humming of the strings. There is music in the spacing of the spheres. I mean, that's quite beautiful. Yeah. Mm. So we can definitely see that there is an affinity.
Yes, yes.
And it's not so much about whether there is a relationship between music and maths, but yes. are we conscious of yes. this relationship? Yes. Because I believe it's undeniable. Yes.
Kenton, I see that there's an instrument lying there, which is not good. I see you've got a guitar there. Now, I need to be soothed, don't you, Duncan? I think we need this guy. I mean, how can we have the lead guitarist to Lyra and the guitar sitting on the floor?
I mean, this would, play.
This would be an embarrassment. So Kenton, tell me what you're going to do to us.
Well, I was going to kind of relate to what Terry's saying, you know,
okay.
on a sort of more surface level and how
yes.
maths affects what I do and what brought me
yes.
to where I am.
Tell
and,
us.
And what my gig is.
Yes.
In my personal experience, I use sort of math or numbers or formulas or calculations within my instruments and within the composition of songs and melodies.
Wow.
As it's undeniable that, you know, after you've done, like, I've researched the guy by the name of Ralph Murphy, mm-hmm. who's the head of the Songwriters Association of New York. If mm-hmm. you check him out mm-hmm. on YouTube, mm-hmm. He illustrates this profoundly. You know, he speaks of the six different formulas to songwriting.
Mm.
I can't go too far in Mm-mm. depth with them, but as an example, you know, the one idea of verse, chorus, bridge, chorus is something that we commonly know.
Mm.
So if I had to simplify it, you would take that formula and apply it to wherever you want to go. So for me, it's a form of navigation. It's how I approach songwriting.
Mm-hmm.
It's how I approach learning new tricks on the guitar or learning the guitar from the basics. If you if you want to learn, I would always say, you know, try and identify what are the patterns, what are the formulas. You know, I've actually got in my first answer, I wanted to maybe go through something that I've written on a track, if that's okay with you.
Sure, absolutely. Go for it.
I've used the idea of verse, pre-chorus, chorus, verse, pre-chorus, chorus.
Wonderful.
And in the solo. So
wonderful.
You want to check that out?
Wonderful. You know, just in listening to that, what did it do to me as a professor of astronomy? I mean, I think this is very true. Is I need to, you know, process what it's done to my neurophysiological processes or my brain. What did it do? Well, first of all, I had Duncan almost defying the law of gravity, bopping up and down. So I realized it's gotten to him. I didn't do that because my frame's like the cosmos, Duncan. I'm expanding. And so it would be dangerous for me. By the way, if you want to reach us, it's 0861 555 189, 0861 555 189. But the most popular way of reaching us is on WeChat, Cliff Central. Send us a message. Darren from PE: I could listen to this man talk all day. Great show. Well, if it's my show or not, it's a show. No, but Darren, we love having you on and so forth. And then Duncan's is the best laugh. But I agree. He has a laugh that cracks me up. People ask me, you know, what you smoking? I say, I'm listening to Duncan. Okay, let me just tell you what Kenton, some of the words, Kenton. We can play all amongst the stars in the galaxy. That's, Terry, that's awesome. We can play. It lifts the mood.
Of course.
The stars are shining bright. I mean, just that, you know what I mean? A heat, the heart's on fire. My students' hearts aren't on fire, Duncan. And then also, you know, the word magic, and, you know, it's so hot. You know, in my days, that used to mean temperature-wise, Duncan. But, you know, now I believe girls and guys can be hot also.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, the feelings that I want to get, I just think that's just so, it's not provocative, it's evocative, it's emotional, it's taking out of me something and it's expressing it. Kenton, is that why you wrote this?
Absolutely. That feeling you get, and it's always nice when it relates to an absolute true story. You know, the sadness in the song is that, you know, she is not believing in the magic.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, you don't have a choice but to give her back her love. But
yeah, I mean,
but
that's
the
tragic,
idea that you have,
it?
yes,
it
is
tragic. She's not catching the magic. Yeah. But I think the whole idea of just playing amongst the stars.
Playing amongst the stars and the
I
magic.
I just love that.
That's where I would love to go.
Yeah. I think that's what music does to one, right, Duncan?
Definitely.
One plays amongst the stars. One, you know, one's. It's just awesome to say to a class, you know, applied maths is magical. It's just so, I mean, Terry, that's true, isn't it? Applied maths is just
it
so.
It is magical.
It is magical. But the point is, we're using some of the world's greatest brains, we're studying their papers, and yet even Einstein himself just was playing amongst the stars, if you really come to think of it.
Yes,
but
absolutely.
You know, Kenton, I see you sitting there with a guitar. Now, let me tell you what I feel like. You know, if you're hungry, Duncan, and the steak doesn't arrive.
Oh, yeah.
It's the main course. You know, and you're hungry. And they say, now, we're just going to tell you the chef is running a little late. And then I say, but I want the steak. And they say, Prof, just be patient. Now, I think we've been patient long enough, haven't you, Duncan?
I think
here
so, too.
Here is a lyricist, lead guitarist. You tell us what you're going to do.
Okay, well, my second analogy was going to be to unpack how I approach the guitar.
Yes, but please do.
If you don't mind. So what I'll do is...
Certainly, Dan, I want to play amongst the stars.
What I always say is, you know, and you got to do your research. So I'm just one opinion and I'm using my experience.
Right.
As a guitarist or as any instrumentalist, I would always say approach music from understanding the numbers or understanding the basic theories of what helps you build a chord, what helps you build a progression.
Right. So it's really mathematical in that sense.
Yes. How it's aided me is that if I understood the navigation of one song, it means that, you know, my very first gig, I had to learn about 28 songs in 2 days. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it can get really ridiculous, but if you understand how to navigate around it, then it mm-hmm. becomes a lot easier. Mm-hmm. So what I do is, if you look at a graph, one going horizontal, one going vertical, mm-hmm. the vertical graph would represent how to build a chord. Mm-hmm. So if you look at the letters A to G,
yep.
And you replace them with 1 to 7,
right.
Your 1 would be an A, if we're using A as an
right.
example.
Yes.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, yes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, mm-hmm. 6, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So how you will build a chord vertically is by a combination of the three different tones of a 1, 3, and a 5.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So what I'm playing in, when I'm playing an A major chord, I hope you listeners can hear my guitar. When I'm playing,
I hope so, Duncan. I hope that they can hear you. Yeah.
I'm basically playing a combination of
put the mic closer to your guitar, and then they will hear you.
Yes. A whole lot of ones, threes, and fives, and obviously
okay.
they vary. So you got to understand
now
a few
I'm hungry.
Little rules. So I've just went through the entire scale, and what the horizontal aspect
yes.
of it does is it navigates through a progression.
Yes.
So a famous South African progression is the 1-4-5. Everybody knows that.
Okay.
So this is what it sounds like: the 1 being the A, the 4 being the D, and the 5 being the E.
Right. Guys, this is awesome! Wow.
So, in understanding
wow,
that,
stop.
In understanding that, you're able to navigate through
Terry,
any
I
key.
I want this guy in my office. That is just. I want you to play that again. It's just so harmonic. It's just. Guys,
and you can think of 10 different songs
wow.
that have been done
that
in that progression.
And it's just a progression of scale. It's just so mathematical.
Absolutely.
It's so mathematical behind it all. And yet, what it does for one is you start playing in a different domain.
Yes.
Is that why you do what you do?
Absolutely. Absolutely. When those two worlds actually meet,
yes.
it becomes magical.
Yes.
It becomes an experience.
Yes.
Especially when you're comfortable with your instrument or, you know how to navigate
yes.
through music. And like I said, the understanding that the approach that I do
yes.
lets you interpret what you're feeling on
yes.
any instrument,
yes.
not necessarily the guitar.
Right.
And again, I can do the exact same thing in a different key. So that's the understanding, being
mm-hmm.
able to let numbers navigate you through music.
Now, tell me both of you, Terry and Kenton. Terry, I'll let the ball in your court for all. Kenton keeps on using this word navigating. Now, when I used to navigate, you know what I mean? It's very dangerous. But the point is, navigating to me meant, you know, for example, navigating, you know, on, for example, a ship. Yes. But the point is, you are using it in a very different context, navigating a song. Now, is that part of the design of the song? Is it part of playing the song? Is it part of communicating, stars shining brightly through the song? I need to tease out of you, mm-hmm. both of you, what does it mean to navigate a song? First Terry and then Kenton.
Well, I think that when you're singing a song or when you're writing a song, you're telling a certain story.
Yes.
And by navigating, we mean that we need to navigate about our way of expressing this story.
Yes.
So, as you know, Kenson has told us now that most songs have a verse, chorus, verse, bridge,
right.
chorus. That structure.
Right.
And so when you talk about navigation, we talk about navigating our way around that structure, designing our chords, designing our lyrics, designing our melodies to fit into that particular structure.
I see. How interesting, the word navigation. Nathan, welcome to you. Always great to have you on the feed. Prof, would your guests say that the quality of music has been deteriorating throughout history? Well, I think, I mean, if you're listening to these folk, I don't think we'd use those words. But I think that, but before we get into that, we'll get into Nathan's question in a moment. But Kenton, I just sense you're on fire here with navigating. Tell me what you explain to me as an absolute novice who's only a mere mortal prof what navigating a song means to you these days.
Well, in the sense of, well, I think it has many different levels of meaning.
Okay.
In the sense of wanting to to grow yourself as a songwriter, or okay. if you want to get into guitar for the first time,
yes.
you know, the easiest thing to do is to learn a chord. But like I yeah, said, sure. if you have a better foundation,
yep.
then you're able to move around the instrument right. a lot more. You're able to learn a lot faster.
Move around the instrument. That's lovely.
Move around the instrument. Mm. Move around the song you're about to write. Mm. Move around the progression that idea that you might have. Mm-hmm. So it's at the end of the day, it's a sense of freedom for your growth as a musician mm-hmm. and how you would want to interpret mm-hmm. music or interpret a songwriting process mm-hmm. you know, so that's how I see it. It's just different levels, you know.
So now, you know, because I've got both of you here, I mean, I'd be I want some more, so I want you to play something where you're navigating a song. You have the freedom to take us anywhere. We've got listeners from Dubai and Los Angeles, and I just want I want you to really let South Africa shine.
Okay, well, I'll play you maybe a little piece of a song that I do with Lira. It's called Stay in My Company.
Okay.
It goes like this.
I just think that is just so beautiful. It's so calming. You know, I need to have this every day.
But it's also dangerous, Prof. I feel like Kenton uses it to his advantage.
So the point really is that sounded like Bach in the background. Really, it was so, there were the harmonics, there was the movement, there was the navigating. It sounded so mathematical. It was so precise. But what is also beautiful about that song, Duncan, is that it was so quiet, meaning it was not noisy. Mm-hmm. It just stirred something within my soul, but it was quietly stirred. It was not stirred with a lot of noise. Now, Terry, does that link into our mathematical brains, where we sit at our desks like you and your PhD, and where we think? What is happening in our brains that, you know, great mathematicians just adore music?
Well, Prof, that answer's a little bit difficult, but maybe we can break it down. As many listeners probably know, the brain is made up of two hemispheres, the right hemisphere and the left mm-hmm. hemisphere. The right hemisphere is responsible for more creative thinking,
right.
and the left brain is responsible for more logical, mm-hmm. mathematical thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm not sure why there is a link, because they seem as though they're separate hemispheres.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the debate is ongoing, because mm-hmm. why is it that
is
mathematicians...
Yep.
are able to be, or why is the mathematicians mm-hmm. have a musicality, a sense mm-hmm. of musicality. Mm-hmm. It's still, I mean, I still can't answer the question. For the longest time, I was a vocalist, I was a singer-songwriter, and the relationship between my musical ability mm-hmm. and my mathematical ability was mm-hmm. quite indiscernible.
Mm-hmm.
Until I started kind of navigating, to use that word, my way around the guitar.
Yes.
Only then did I realize that there's an absolute connection, that while the music emanates from emotion, the expression is very technical and mathematical. And so, I think maybe that's why it's easier for mathematicians or for people who have a sense of maths to be able to express themselves with music.
I want to read something to our listeners. James Joseph Sylvester penned these words. May not music be described as the mathematics of the sense, mathematics as music of the reason?
Wow.
The musician feels mathematics.
Wow.
The mathematician thinks music. Mm. Music, the dream. Mathematics, the working life.
Sure.
Wow. How does that resonate with you, Kenton? The musician feels mathematics.
Yes.
I mean, would you say you feel it? Do you? I mean, you know, you perform on such huge audience, to such huge audiences, not on them, hopefully.
Sometimes on them, yes.
You know, this morning someone left someone left my office this morning and they said their TM joints were sore from laughing. Which is a good sign. You can see I believe laughter is the best medicine. Oh, but gosh. Where's my quote gone, Duncan? It's just disappearing. So, you know, would you both say that the musician feels maths? Is that true?
We definitely feel the congruency of all of these different facets playing one role mm-hmm. In one moment.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is being holding that instrument and being on that stage. You know, that feeling is... I really, really can't describe
it. What do you feel when you're on stage? What do you feel?
It's a whole other level of adrenaline. Like,
yeah.
I think the biggest crowd we've ever played for with Lira was the unveiling of the Seventh Wonder of the World, the Table Mountain.
Yeah, and I wasn't invited to that one.
I kid you not, there probably was around 100,000 people at that place. Walking on the roads, you know. Mm-hmm. You know how Cape Town is when they have those. So mm-hmm. that was like the ultimate rush.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is mm-hmm. the ultimate surge mm-hmm. of adrenaline, just like mm-hmm. rushing throughout your body. And then you got to remember the maths and the gym.
And what's your aim? I mean, are you trying to make maths the music of reason? Is this actually subconsciously what you're trying to both do?
Absolutely.
Terry, I see you reflecting hard on that.
Yes. I think that now that I'm more aware, because as I said earlier, there is definitely an affinity between mathematics and music. The debate is not mm-hmm. about that connection. Mm-hmm. It's about being conscious about the mm-hmm. connection.
Mm-hmm.
So I think now that I'm conscious of it, I'm eager to explore and express myself and find more connections.
Mm.
And yeah, because ultimately by connecting these little dots, maths and music is just the tip of the iceberg.
Right.
We can connect infinitely many things,
right.
which leads us to right. something far grander.
Right. Now, how would you both address Nathan's question that he feels he's asking the question that music is actually on the way down? That the quality of music, let me read the question again, Nathan. Great having you on the show. That the quality of music has been deteriorating throughout history.
I'll start. I think that now because we've got so much technology, and again, because maths is playing such an important role,
right.
it's easy to make music that sounds technical and to reproduce a lot more
right.
music a lot faster.
Right.
And so as a result, I don't know, I guess maybe... We could say that some of the music out there, I'm going to be quite frank, is crap and it's not timeless and it doesn't have a lot of soul. It doesn't have a lot of emotion.
It doesn't have
a lot of investment.
Yeah,
that's what's lacking. But that doesn't mean that there is a lot of music out there that we're producing now that is still of high quality. And I think Kenton can probably elaborate a little bit more, expand a little bit more on that because mm-hmm. his music is quite good.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope not to become too philosophical around this, but... You know, and not to tramp on Nathan's toes too much, but I feel like, you know, there are always two scenarios. You know, there's always something great that's happening. There's always something negative that's happening. And when you look at the two, your reality and your awareness is what you're focusing on.
Yes.
So if you're focusing on the cup is half empty, then that's what you get. If you focus on the cup is half full.
Right.
So I would like to see the cup half full. And I'd like to say that we have some pioneers all around the world
good.
That are pushing boundaries.
Oh, good.
And if anything, I think the quality of music is growing, you know. But like I do say, it's the element of both worlds are happening at the same time.
Right. Yeah. So we're just going to have a break, and I want to know what your thoughts are with regard to this. Duncan, go. Books. Enoch's Meditation. I mean, I could really listen to this just for hours and hours, but we need to carry on with our key theme. It's just so good. But the point is that... So I'd like to just know, getting back to our theme of science and maths and music. Terry, there's the claim, of course, that Mozart's music is very pivotal in stimulating mathematical thinking. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts there?
Well, there is something known as the Mozart effect.
There's something known as the Mozart effect?
Yes, the Mozart effect.
Have you experienced that, Duncan?
Never, ever.
Maybe Duncan can be our guinea pig for the day.
Yeah.
When listening to pieces by the composer actually can facilitate and improve concentration. And then,
that's interesting.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Mm.
And then linking that with mathematics, there's a claim that Mozart's symphonies, which have more complicated patterns, can actually stimulate mathematical thinking.
Mm.
I don't know. I've actually brought Mozart's symphony in G minor. Maybe we could have a listen. And
do we have that on? Okay, so that's going to come on now. And while we're waiting for that, Kenton, have you got something to address with regard to, say, Mozart's music or Bach's music or any of the famous musicians of old, how they might stimulate? And especially the idea of focus is very important to me.
Focus.
Focus. In other words, it helps you to be relaxed. But when you're relaxed, when you're in a relaxed mode, Kenton, is somehow you can focus on challenges which you could never do if you were in a stressed environment.
Absolutely. You know, obviously my research and my surroundings and my environment weren't sort of in the lines of the classical composers, but mm-hmm. how it's affected me, I remember mm-hmm. when I was a kid in high school, they actually had the music playing over the intercoms for during our exam sessions.
Yes.
And it definitely.
Yes. Did it help you?
Absolutely.
Really?
The concentration mm-hmm. levels. Mm-hmm. It definitely gets you into that sense of relaxed focus, getting yes. to the work that
the
you
mind
need
to be relaxed before it can focus.
Absolutely.
A turbulent Absolutely. Mind just cannot do it. So, you know, again, I'm hungry. You know, I see my steak. And, you know, I mean, we've got Kenton here, and, you know, I know we're going to have Mozart just now, but I want you, look, I didn't ask you to do this before the show, but there must be something, I don't know, just something that's going to cause us to just navigate further today. Have you got anything you could just, I know it's on the spot, and if you haven't got, I just respect that, but your face just tells me, Prof, I'm about to light your candle.
I actually have like a million things running in my head at the same yes. time, but let me maybe a famous chord progression.
Okay.
Of Bill Withers, just yes. the two of us.
Ooh. Yes. Wow. It is a wow. You're listening to Professor David Block, and you wouldn't say so because it's just a wow. It's just, it is just taking one to another planet. And I love the words we used earlier of growing oneself and of moving around. But somehow, I suppose, Terry, it leads us onto the subject of creativity. Yes. Music is so creative, as we just heard Duncan play. And this is a very interesting untapped area, is in order to be more creative, perhaps one should be listening to more music.
Well, I'll say that in my undergraduate years at Wits, when I studied, and maybe this is not so much about my creativity, but my ability to retain any kind of information, I had to listen to music.
Yes.
And I listened to a specific CD. It was Coldplay's Parachutes. I listened to that CD on repeat, and somehow it was calming, but it also enabled me to actually kind of make sense of what I was doing and to process the information on a far deeper level.
Mm-hmm.
My relationship with music in terms of creativity is that I use my music to be creative. That's my means of being creative.
How wonderful. How wonderful.
Yeah.
How wonderful. Kenton, your thoughts on that?
Pretty well, I can't agree more, you know. Definitely it's
an opening up of the soul. Yes,
absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. And to be able to pour your innermost feelings and sometimes, you know, on different levels, whether it's good emotion, bad emotion, but it's an interpretation. Right. It's an interpretation of what is going through oneself at the stage.
Right. Now tell me, Duncan, you've got something to play, have you? We're just going to listen to what this does to one. Yes.
It's a symphony in G minor.
Yes, that's right, Duncan. By Mozart. I think as I listen to that piece, you know, I see so much, I hear so much structure, and it's so precise. Now, of course, you know, one of the things which I'm very deeply involved in and care about is our leaders of tomorrow, and many of our listeners fall into this age group of, say, 18 to 25, our listeners of tomorrow. Now, I have to ask both of you in the remaining sort of 4 minutes or so, do you think that maths can be used to promote or make sense of other aspects of the world around us? Terry and then Kenton.
Prof, I believe that mathematics occurs quite naturally in every aspect of the natural world.
Yes.
I'd like to give a couple of quick examples just to get the listeners on board. When you're on Google or when you're on YouTube, and let's say Duncan is looking for his favorite hip-hop track, he goes to YouTube and he types in Electric Relaxation by Tribe Called Quest.
Okay.
That music video comes up, but there's also a side panel with infinitely many other options.
Right.
Closely related to his search.
Right.
Now, what that is that's eigenanalysis.
Yes.
That's mathematics. Mm-hmm. That's mathematics at its purest. Google and YouTube use this to find similarities. And here the eigenvalue would be the one thing that all of those options have in common, which is that they're probably all hip-hop tracks roughly from the same era. So that's how mathematics is used in things obviously that we use in everyday life. In transport scheduling, in navigation, we've been using this word quite often today. So I think that the human body is symmetrical. That's an obvious reference to mathematics. Mathematics occurs naturally in every single aspect of the natural world. It's just about having a consciousness and
beautiful
awareness of that.
Navigating through the stars. Structure, precision. Kenton, you have the final word before I wrap this up.
Okay. I was hoping for more than that with my final answer because it really excites me, but that's fine.
We invite you back.
No problem. I for one have certainly for the last year and 8 months applied a formula, so I can again speak from experience that definitely within the music industry, you know, there's a lot of questions about, you know, how does one make it, and you know, it's a tough industry, and I say the missing gap between understanding what it takes to make it in the industry from a physical point of view, but as a personal development process. I think because it's tough, I think your mindset needs to be tougher.
Good.
A simple strategy, four blocks with a cross drawn evenly, four blocks from the bottom left, the letters B, above that P, to the right of that A and R, belief, potential, action and results. The results in your life are because of the actions you've taken. The actions you've taken are because of the potential you've believed in. And at the end of the day, none of this works without one form, belief. Poor belief system, poor potential. Poor potential, poor actions, poor results. For me, that's a formula that I've used for the past 8 years, and it's given me tremendous results.
Well, folk, I think that it's time to really just take a step back and play music that excites and, you know, start navigating, start playing amongst the stars in our awesome galaxy, start sharing feelings one with another. But one thing, listeners, do not give your love back. You know, really, folk, please, please, let's remain just hugging one another. This is Professor David Block, to Terry and to Kenton. Thank you so much.
Until next Tuesday,
goodbye.
Thank you very much. Thanks,
Flying Fish now has even more flavor.
Yeah! More flavor?
Huh?
Hey!
What ya doing?
Bring even more flavor!
All right! Introducing new Chilled Green Apple.
Chilled Green Apple!
It's a beer with all the bitterness brewed out and green apple flavor brewed in.
I see the flavor's brewed in.
Go on, add some flavor.
Don't mind if I do.
Enjoy responsibly. Not for sale to persons under the age of 18.
This is CliffCentral.com.